But last week we talked about the Lord's return, because this whole chapter is about the Lord's return. And we talked about believers remember it. And I thought that it was a powerful message on how we are to remember it. We went into Jude. Remember, Jude said, hey, God gave you all these examples, all these things to think about. And so you need to use those examples to remember. Don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. The thing about humans is we have this, especially nowadays, we have this amazing ability to forget. You know, remember when 9/11 happened? We remember that, but we forget the damage that it did to our country as a whole. And I'll give you a beautiful example of how we forgot. You know, it is said that Muslims flew the planes into our towers and destroyed our towers. Amen. That's what was said. And then 10 years later, we are voting Muslims in to run our country. How quickly we forget, amen? And I just use that simple example to show you that when we forget, how destructive it can be. And if you know anything about Michigan and Detroit, Michigan, it is mainly Muslims. Basically, Detroit is its own Muslim country now. American laws do not, or they're not put in place to protect Americans in Detroit, Michigan, because it's all Islamic run. And so how quickly we forget. And so that's why when it comes to the Lord's return, we are to remember. And Peter's trying to bring this back to our remembrance. And then he goes in after he says, remember, right? If we look into 3:1, beloved, I now write to you, by the way, 2 Peter 3:1, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful. And so it's remember, 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 be mindful. And then he goes into verses 3-7, which is what we're going to talk about today. And the reason that 3-7 is crucial to understand is because it literally, the exact same thing that Peter's talking about here in verses 3-7, we're battling today in our society. One of the biggest things, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but one of the biggest things that is going on in our society today is not so much the attack on Jesus being God. I mean, it's still there. You know, Jesus can't be the only way. Jesus can't be the savior of the world. Jesus was a good man. Jesus was a prophet. Jesus was not the son of God. And we have that argument. But what is even more prevalent today than the argument that Jesus is not who he says he was, which is a lie. Jesus is who he says that he was, and he is the savior of the world, and he did come to earth, born of a virgin, died on the cross for our sins, and he is the only way to heaven. For whosoever believes in him, puts their faith in him, will have eternal life. That's a fact. I mean, and whether you like it or don't like it, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, it is a fact. So now we get into verse 3-7. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to break it down, because the reality is the attack now, or the affront, is not specifically on Jesus anymore. They've changed their tactic. And I'm going to tell you, brilliantly changed their tactic. You know, people that think Satan is nobody, this dude, you have to understand, man, he is... he would be fourth in line to be the most powerful. And I say fourth in line because it's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and then Satan. Satan is that powerful. He's under God, absolutely under God, but compared to anything else other than God, he is incredibly powerful. And he is a deceiver, and he is a murderer, and he is a liar, and he's all these things, and he does all these things really, really well. Now, one of the things that he is doing today, and if you pay attention, is not the affront on Jesus as much as it is the affront on history. Now, if you have paid attention to anything going on in the world, what you will realize is they're changing history. They're rewriting history books. They're not teaching history. They're removing it. They're changing it. They're rewriting it. They're hiding books. They're getting rid of books. That's why they want everything to go digital, because if everything goes digital and there's no more paperback, guess what they got rid of? Truth. They got rid of truth, and now they're giving you their ideology. They're giving you what they want you to believe. And when I say they, I'm talking Satan and all of his cronies that work for him. That being anything evil, our government, our politicians, our local politicians, anybody that goes contrary to the word of God, they are evil and they're working for Satan. And you might say, well, I know some of them. They're really good people. If they're not Christians, they're evil and they're working for Satan. Period. It's just, and I'm not attacking them. I'm making a statement because Jesus says either you're for me or you're against me. And so if you're not a child of his, it's very clear through scripture that you're an enemy of his. It is what it is. And so, and I know people don't like that, but that seems to be what I do best, is tell people what they don't like. And so we'll just keep rolling with that idea, right? And so let's look here in 2 Peter 3, 3 through 7. He says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And so this is really interesting, because Peter starts with scoffers and how they're denying history. They're denying history. There's two things you forgot, Peter says. I want to remind you. You have forgotten creation, and so you don't believe the history of creation, and you don't believe the second thing, and that's the flood. And what are they attacking today? Creation and the flood. It's like neither one existed. You have evolution. Evolution is a lie from the pit of hell. Evolution is demonic. And by the way, if you believe in cavemen is a derivative of evolution and therefore is a lie and is not true. There were no cavemen. Listen, men might still grunt every now and then, but they were never cavemen that didn't have a language. We've always had a language. I know some of you ladies like, my husband, he's still caveman. Honey, would you like to go out to dinner? Honey, was that good? Honey, right? Men, start learning your language. Anyway, so that's why we're having a relationship series. You come tonight, learn about women. Come the next week, learn about men, and you'll see why they and you might learn something. We'll grow. So when we look at this, he says, hey, listen, there's scoffers, and these scoffers are mockers, and they're going to be in the last days. And as he says here in verse 3, knowing this first, knowing you, this is priority for you to know. If you notice, and I don't worry about this verse, guys, in 2 Peter 1:20, the beginning of the book, it says, knowing this first, he did the same thing. That no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. And so he establishes it in chapter 1. Know this first, that everything I'm going to give you is not a private interpretation. It's of God. And so if you run into anyone that was like, well, I got a word from God, and they want to interpret scripture opposite than the context of its meaning, are you ready? It's of no private interpretation. So when someone says, well, this is what it means to me, walk away. False teacher. Or whatever sign that is, I don't even know. But yeah, walk away, right? Because that means they want to give you a private interpretation. And Peter says, no, that's not how it works. There's a purpose and a reason for everything God wrote. and you have to read it in the context that it was written. And if you take it out of the context that it was written, you're being ungodly. Period. And so that's what he says in 120. You need to know this above all. Then we get to another spot here in chapter 3 where he says, knowing this first. You got to know this, guys. This is priority, that scoffers or mockers will be in the last days. And they'll walk according to their own lust. And so what we see is scoffers are false teachers who deny Jesus Christ and they deny his return. We're actually going to be getting into the next week. We're going to talk about the second coming of Christ. Oh, you want to be here for that? Yeah, you pray I'm here for that. you want to be here for the second coming of Christ, because I'm going to shed a ton of light on that topic that will help you understand. Because, you know, many people say they call the rapture the second coming. Let me help you. It is not the second coming, because the rapture, we go to be with him. The second coming is Armageddon, where we come back with him on earth. Big difference, guys. So the second coming is not the rapture. It is the second appearing and working on earth. That's the second coming. So please don't misunderstand that or mislabel it. And so the two things that we have seen from false teachers that we saw in 2:1, as a matter of fact, in 2:1, it said of 2 Peter, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And you guys know that for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, I taught on false teachers. And that's what it is. And here's the thing. It says among you, because they work their way, the little weasels, man. They're like little snakes. They're like little rodent rats that get their little nose in there, and then they get their whole body in there because they're like slimy little, and they get into the church. And what do? They infect the church. And they try to distort truth, and they try to take the people of God and try to derail them. You know, they can't stop them from getting saved if they're already saved. But what can they do? They can get them to believe heresies. Because most Christians today never read the Word of God. They don't study the Word of God. They listen to someone else, and then they take it as truth, and they deny the actual truth when they really hear it. And you say, Pastor, that doesn't really happen. It does, because I'll teach the Word of God, and they'll hear it from some jackleg out there that doesn't know his right foot from his left, and they spew this ungodly, twisted scripture, but because it fits their ideology, they're like, Pastor, you're wrong. Great, show me a verse. Don't come and tell me I'm wrong if you don't have a verse to point at and say, Pastor, you were wrong, and this is where the truth is. Because if that happens, you will see me up here on a Sunday morning going, please forgive me. I'm not, because I'm not above messing something up, or sometimes I get to talking so fast and I'm like, my brain and my mouth are both just like on a collision course to nowhere. And sometimes my mouth says things before my brain ever realizes what happened. And it's happened, right? Because I don't know if you guys know, but I'm kind of an excitable guy. I'm just... Listen, when it gets in, okay, there's two things. All right, three things that really, really excite me. One is Jesus and the scriptures. Boy, that'll put a fire in me. I could be half asleep, someone talk about the Bible, and I'm like, oh, I'm in. The second thing that really excites me is my wife. No doubt. The third thing that really excites me, motorcycles and twisties. That's all I'm saying. Like, those are the three things in my world that capture my attention. And of course, my granddaughter, which would actually come before the motorcycle if I had to decide. All right. But as long as they run on parallels, we're good. And so what I want to say is most people, they don't study the Word. They don't understand, and they're not diligent, and they'll believe someone else because they might sound passionate, or because they'll get all, oh, well, and all mushy and everything. It's like, but you, did you see their heart? No, I saw their perversion. Their emotional little manipulating thing that they just did captured you, and you need to stop it. And so if you ever think that I'm wrong, bring me a verse. Bring me a verse. And I assure you, if you are accurate, I will repent publicly. Bring me a verse. And so what we have, at any rate, is we have these false teachers who deny Jesus Christ, and they deny his return. And that's where we're at today in 3:4. It says, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And what I love about their argument today is they'll use the same argument, right?
Oh, everybody, every generation, my father and his father and their pastor and their pastor and their church and their generation, everybody's been saying Jesus has been coming forever. And where is he at? Right?
And so that's their argument. Same thing. Same thing. Same thing. It's like, are you kidding me? Here's what I know about life. It cycles, right? I think we're already back to bell bottoms again. Yeah. I think we are, right? Yeah. That is proof we don't ever learn. I'm just saying, that is proof we don't ever learn. But we see right here, right, that they're denying. Where is the promise of his coming? Where's the promise that Jesus Christ is going to return to earth? Oh, it's in there. It's like Prego is in there. How many remember that commercial? How many have no clue what I just said? Yeah, right? I see all these young hands going up. Prego, what's Prego? It's spaghetti sauce. It's Prego. It's in there. And so they're like, look, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And so that's going to take us back to creation, and we're going to look at that. But I want you to see that Jesus said that these heretics would come. I think I gave you these. Did I give you these? Matthew 24? Did I give you that? Because there's a ton of verses I didn't give you. If I didn't give it to you, don't even try to hunt it down. I'm just going to read it. I forgot to mark here that I did not give it to you. Okay. But Jesus said it here. Look, Matthew 24, 3-5. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. And then he goes on and he talks about there's going to be deceivers and the heresies that are going to come in. And then we see in Matthew 24:11, then many false prophets, right, will rise up and deceive many. And then in Matthew 23-36, it'd be the same thing. 1 Timothy 4:3-1. I'm giving you so that you can write them down if you want them. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith. We're seeing that today. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And then it goes on. And so we see that happening today. And there, look, some of you are sitting here right now, and in your heart, you're a scoffer. In your heart, you're a mocker. In your heart, you are sitting here for whatever reason you came. God bless you. I'm so glad that you are here. But there are some of you that are sitting here and you're like, I'll get this over with. I came because I wanted a free lunch and I didn't realize I was going to sit through this. That's some of you's heart when you come in on a Sunday. Some of you are like, oh, this isn't true, but since I'm already attached to the church, I'll keep coming because this will pass too. I mean, like some of you, you have a scoffers and a mockers heart. And what I'm telling you is that Jesus warned us about this. And since the warning came, Sherry and I, we were doing math yesterday, as a matter of fact, because on Wednesday night, we're in the book of Revelation. And then I was challenged with a question that I went, Okay, I know the answer, but right now I don't have verses to back it up, so I'm going to have to research it. And so then I started researching it, right? And the question was, who goes to the judgment seat of Christ? Are the Old Testament saints going to be at the judgment seat of Christ? And the tribulation saints, are they going to be at the judgment seat of Christ? And so I am on this, like, just, I had hair when I started. That's how deep I'm in. And so I'm studying, I'm reading, I'm looking, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And I have the answer. So if you want to know the answer, I'll see you Wednesday night at 7. But so here's the thing, right? And I'm talking to my wife and we're talking about times and dates and everything. And it's like from, which is really interesting, from Genesis to Abraham, which I think is 10 chapters, 11 chapters, something like that, is 2,000 years. From Abraham to Jesus Christ is like 2,000 years. And from Jesus to today is 2,024 years. Plus a few, because our Jewish calendar and the American calendar are different. So there's like 3 years between that. And then you have to go to another calendar, which has about a year difference in that. So we have 3 to 4 year difference between the Jewish calendar back then and the American calendar today. So being 2024, we're 2,024 years on the American calendar. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? So now you know. And this here goes back to Jesus dying on the cross within 50 years, 50 to 80 years, 50, 65, 80 years, somewhere around this for Second Peter, which means that this is almost 2,000 years old. Nobody argues the historicity of these writings, by the way. They just argue the truth of them because they don't want to believe it. So 2,000 years ago, Peter said what it was going to look like today. Daggum if he didn't nail it. I think the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. Just saying, amen? And so we see that Jesus says this, Paul says it, and now Peter is saying it. Jude said it. Jude in Jude 16 says there are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, that they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Jude 18, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. And one of the things that I find really interesting in everything that Jesus said and that Paul said, that Peter said, that Jude said, everything that they said came down to sexual perversion. That was their lust. In order for them to fulfill their sexual perversion, they deny the truth of God. Because if they accept the truth of God, they are into, I have to now take responsibility for who I am and what I'm doing. That's literally what was the drive of the ungodly. And the scriptures say that's what's going to keep pushing people to deny truth, is their own sexual perversion. And how perverted have we become? We have proof that our government is paying for child sex trafficking. Not to stop, but to keep going. We have proof that today, pedophilia, pedophiles, a disgustingly sinful, horrifically sinful group of people, pedophiles, are now considered proper, just like homosexuals or LGBTQ IAA plus the alphabet when they're done. And here, what do you mean by that? Yeah. So they're saying that pedophiles now, this is the argument, and they're arguing for pedophilia to be legalized because they say they can't control who they fall in love with, even if it is a 2-year-old and they're a 50-year-old. Okay. They need high fived in the face, every one of them. Right? But what's happening? It is the sexual perversion and by the way, Jesus said in the end times, right before his return, that the world will look like Sodom and Gomorrah. We're here. We're here. Right? Sodom and Gomorrah. Because now, if you are straight, if you're heterosexual, you're the problem. You are the problem. And the reason that the whole alphabet is committing suicide right now is because we won't accept their lifestyle. Well, wait a minute. If they're made of God that way, why is our approval so important? Why do they need our approval? No. It's sexual perversion, and they're killing themselves because God says that's going to happen in Romans chapter 1, verse 32. And you can write that down. And so when we look at all this, guys, their sexual perversion, they can't accept truth, because if they accept truth, now they have to accept responsibility. And the same thing was happening back here. And Peter says that, and Jude says that. And literally it is an arrogant disdain for the idea of the coming judgment. God won't judge me. God won't send me to hell. God made me this way. And it's like, hold on, buddy. It's buddy and budette, whatever it is. Hold on. I just want to be politically correct. Never been. That just came out. I'm thinking I need a drink of water for right now. All right. So now Peter says, okay, let me tell you this. You're scoffers because you're walking according to your own lust, your own desires. That's why you're a scoffer and a mocker. That's what Peter says. Like, this is the reason. Verse 4 says, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, the fathers is talking to going back into the Old Testament, would be our forefathers or the forefathers of church history, of scripture, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. That would be them, right? The fathers that we see in Genesis. And so then Peter says here that for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And so now Peter is going to into creation, and he's saying, listen, I'm going to give you what you're ignoring. You are ignoring historical facts. You're ignoring them. And what are we doing today? We ignore historical facts. One of the big arguments today in America is America was not founded on the gospel. What are they ignoring? Every monument in Washington, D.C. that has scripture on it, every monument, every president that declared Jesus Christ, wait a minute. You know what they quit teaching in school? American history. Do you know why they quit teaching American history? Because it points to Jesus. It always points to Jesus. Nope. It's not true. It's all a lie. And so what do? We start denying the historicity of this country. We can't teach it, because if we teach it, here's what we're going to find out. America was built on the foundation of the scriptures. God, the God of the scriptures, Jesus, the Savior of the world, that protected this country like no other, was founded because of the scriptures. And that man has the freedom and the right to walk and walk as God intended, freely. If you understand the history of America, all that would come back to this generation that's been lied to so greatly. And that's a danger, because if we bring it back, they might start fighting for their rights instead of denying the rights to people. Can't have history. Can't have it. Can't have it. Same thing here. Because if we understand creation to be true, if we understand Genesis to be true, then the rest of the Bible is true. If we understand there is a creator that created everything, then the rest of the Bible is true. I saw a video on a giraffe, and we're like, what's a giraffe got to do with it? I'm so glad you asked. So what's interesting about the giraffe, because, you know, the neck is so long, that they say that that when the giraffe puts his head down, the rush of blood to the brain would cause the brain to explode and kill the giraffe immediately. And when he puts his head, if he should survive the explosion of the brain, when he pulls his head up, the blood flow rushing back would cause him to be deprived of oxygen for such a period of time and so quickly that he would pass out, and prey would catch him. If there was a lion in the area or whatever that would eat him. And there's like, so their whole idea of the giraffe is that the giraffe disproves evolution. How many in their brain are like, what? Now, how many want to hear why all of this works? That was one thing. Okay, good. There we go. I got you. All right. Every now and then, you got to have a hook. Come on, guys. So here's what's really interesting, and this might be a two-week part here, because here's what's real interesting. So in the neck of the giraffe, there's like five valves that control the blood flow when he puts his head down, that when the blood hits it, it flows through systematically controlling the flow. Not only that, but right before the brain of a giraffe is a sponge-like absorber. So that when the blood, and by the way, it's off to the side, like this is the brain and the sponge absorber is here. So when all the blood comes flowing down to his head, it hits that sponge absorber. That sponge, we'll call it, will swell slightly and slowly, allowing the brain to be fed with blood. So his brain won't explode. And then when he stands up, there is a control valve to release the blood slowly but systematically so he doesn't get lightheaded and pass out and then be vulnerable to the prey, to being prey for someone else or something else, another animal. And they said, if you look at all these valves and you look how they're in place, it's the most incredible thing ever. And evolution wouldn't line up with that because the giraffe never would have made it. Because who would have figured out, or how would evolution have figured out to put all these valves in there and then put this sponge in the brain or right before the brain and just offset? So there's no chance of that blood rushing in and blowing up his brain. How would evolution have created that for that giraffe for that specific need? It just defies all logic of evolution. It doesn't work. There has to be a creator. Just like there's a creator to this watch. There's a creator. The eyeball. Nothing can replicate the eyeball. Man has tried and tried and tried. Nothing that they do can replicate the eyeball. It's the most amazing thing. It disproves evolution. But yet what happens is people, and we're going to talk about this, they willfully, ignorantly reject truth or facts. Because if we start accepting certain facts, then all of a sudden we have to deny the lies that we've been told. Hold on. All right, I just had to get the mic off my beard. It's driving me crazy whether you hear it or not. Anyway, right, and I'm OCD anyway, so there we go. And so what happens is, if you start accepting the facts that there's a creator, then you have to deny everything you've been taught, and now you got to start believing Jesus is real. Because now you got to believe there's a God. And see, they don't want to do this. Or they want to do everything on their terms. And so they willfully forget, or as the King James rendering of it, I think this is the next PowerPoint. The word translated willfully forget actually means, it's a negative connotation, and the King James renders it willingly are ignorant. Willingly are ignorant. In other words, I can show you the truth. I can tell you the truth. I can explain the truth to you, and you will still deny it, even though in your brain and in your heart and everything about you goes, wow, what they're saying really makes sense. Because in reality, what the person is saying when they deny the truth is, I can't accept that, because if I accept that, I got to let go of all of this. And through the lust of the flesh, their lusting desires, their sexual perversions, they won't let go of this. Because if they let go of this, they have to surrender to the Word of God. That's what Peter's saying. And by the way, that's people's problem today. Amen. And so the facts don't just elude mockers, if you will. They literally, ignorantly, willfully, on purpose, shut their eyes to truth. My next PowerPoint. They willfully ignored historical evidence. They willfully ignored historical evidence. And I underline historical evidence because evidence is factual. Evidence is proof. Evidence is undeniable. And they willfully ignore it. And we see it today. You know, got to shut it down because they're choosing to disregard the biblical accounts. Why? Because they don't want the retribution of it. If they believe this, they believe they're guilty, and they believe God is a judge and will judge them. And it's way easier to deny that than to accept it, especially when you love your sin. And you want to please the flesh. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 36, 1 through 4, and I'm going to run through these passages really fast. 36, 1 through 4, an oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes, talking about man, when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to be good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. And that's where man is today. They devise wickedness. They don't hate evil. Well, why would you hate what you are? And they have set themselves up to be despised and to be judged by God. Verse 4. Sorry, I got that. Then we got Psalm 73, 5 through 12. And it says, they are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. You got to keep rolling. Their eyes bulge. I'll read it from here. Just keep up with me as I read. They're not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak softly. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, How does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase their riches. And they're like, where is God? Who is God? There's a total denial of God. And that's what we have today. And they're just going after their riches. They're going after their riches. Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, or walk like the world walks in the futility of their mind. Don't walk like the world walks because it's futile. Next verse. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. I'll hold it right here. Who, being past what? Feeling. They're numb. They're numb to the truth. They're numb to the truth, and all they want to do is feed themselves. It's so crazy. And so they made conscious decisions and did not consider the final consequences. And I have a ton of verses for that. If you want to write it down, go ahead. Numbers 15:31. I'll just go through these really fast. Because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment, that person shall be completely cut off. His guilt shall be upon him. Then we have Deuteronomy 7:9-10. In this passage, I find really interesting. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations. And man, we've had 1,000 generations since Christ. With those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays, gives back to those who hate him to their face. To their face takes us back to the great white throne judgment. Because they're not saved. And he's literally going to look them in the eye and hold them accountable for it. To what? To destroy them. Now, remember, last week I talked about their default position is hell anyway. That, you know, people's default position when we're born, we are, our default position is we're born into hell. We're going to, our way is to hell. And Jesus, God sent Jesus to be the rescuer, not to send us to hell, but to keep us from going there. But people are going to deny them and deny Christ. And so when they deny Christ, they're going to be destroyed and God will be the one that destroys them. He will not be slack with him who hates him, and he will repay him to his face. He won't be slack, and he'll repay him. God's not joking around with any of this when he declares it. Psalm 34:16. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Are you catching on to what God's saying? And I know some of you might be sitting there going, Pastor, where's the love? Me telling you this truth is the love. Me letting you believe a lie is not love. Me helping you to understand you have a choice, that's love. Me helping you to understand exactly what the choice is, that's love. If I were to hide the truth, if I were to be deceitful, that's what Satan does. That's all that Satan does. That is not love. That's hate. I'm not here trying to caress you and make you feel all good and pat you on the butt, sing kumbaya and send you home with you believing a deception or a lie. Peter, when he's writing this, he is reminding them of everything that I'm telling you. When I go back to the Old Testament, they had the Old Testament. Now, they didn't have it in the Bible per se like we do, but they had the writings. Every quotation that Jesus made of the Old Testament, they knew because they had the writings of the Old Testament. And Jesus knew they had the writings of it. Jesus knew they knew what it was and that they understood it. That's why he quoted it. And so all I'm doing, guys, is loving you enough to tell you this absolute truth. God will destroy you because he hates evil. And if your mind is set on evil and not on Jesus Christ and the things of God, he will destroy you to your face. To your face. Yes. God doesn't play around, guys. Psalm 78:49-50, quickly. He cast on them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending angels of destruction among them. Sodom and Gomorrah. In Revelation, we see it all the time. God's going to send angels in to destroy. To destroy what? Humanity and property. He made a path for his anger. God is angry with sin. See, what are they trying to do today? They're trying to tell you God's love. God's not angry with you. He made you that way. God knows who you are in every decision you make because he made you that way. And by the way, it's the plan of God for your life. He orchestrated it and designed for you to live this way. So don't feel bad. Don't be guilty. Don't feel distressed. God made you like this. Live in it in freedom. And God's like, no, 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 I will not spare your soul from death. Go back one verse, please. I will cast on you my anger, my wrath, my indignation, and I'm going to give you trouble. Trouble like you've never seen before. It's going to bring on death. It's going to be bad. Jump two verses real quick. Go to 50 if you will. Yeah. Next verse. Is that the last one? All right. Got it. And then Matthew says the same thing, which for time, I'm not even going to get there. Man, I haven't even got to the flood yet. Golly, man. Golly. Open up that back door. Let some fresh air in here. We're going to be here a while. Oh, man. See, now if you get up, people are going to look at you like, oh, because we'll, I'm like, look at him. He's got issues. She's got, no, I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that. So because of all of this, right, because of what's going on and the fact that they're denying all that, and this is God's attitude toward their mockery, toward their scoffing. This is God's attitude toward that. And then Peter goes into the flood. And when he goes into the flood, he's saying, listen, part of the problem is you forgot history. The issue is you have forgot history. Verse 4, because you're saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, and all things from the beginning of creation, you're denying. And so in Romans 15:4, did I give you that one? Okay, don't worry about it. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So that's why God wrote the scriptures, and that's why we have them, so that they're written for our learning and for our comfort. Okay? Not to scare us, not to do whatever, but for our learning. And sometimes learning is tough, amen? Sometimes learning is hard, and sometimes we don't like what we learn, but in the end, it pays off that we learned it, amen? That's what everything I just taught you. And so then Peter defends the second coming, and we're going to talk about that next week. And they obviously they ignored facts, they ignored the things that they were being taught, they ignored the creation. Go, all right, man. I'm telling you what. I mean, I might just buy everybody lunch today and keep you here, Jennifer. Genesis, pull this up because did I give you Genesis 1:1? All right, just pull up Genesis chapter 1 starting in verse 1, but be prepared to go next verse, next verse, next verse, next verse, next verse, because we're going to go all through Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4 another time. Because I'm telling you, man, this is so good though. All right. So he goes into creation. Let me help you out with creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Just stop right there for a second. People say, oh, the earth is billions of years old. It's billions of years old. And some, even Christians will say that earth is an old earth. I was diligent to go to the Greek. So I spent, created, on the word created. And then the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So in one, Those words I focused a ton of energy on, because if we don't understand the words, then we get lost in it. Amen. And if you look all throughout, and for sake of time, I'm not going to do that in other scriptures, but the Lord formed the earth, the Lord formed the earth, the Lord formed the earth. And so what people say is, well, he formed the earth because it was already there, so all he had to do was form it. But then as I kept searching and searching and looking up and so on and so forth, you go right in the beginning, God created. That was the other thing. Throughout scriptures, it says he created the heavens. He created all throughout. And then it was saying he formed the earth. And that was like boggling my mind for a minute. But then I realized as I searched out the word created, that God brought forth from nothing. Created literally means to bring about its existence. You created it. And so it would be like if you created artwork or a picture, that picture would be created or brought about from nothing, right? Because it didn't exist, but in your mind until you put it on paper. For some of you, it looks beautiful. For others, you're like, you might want something else, another hobby. But you get what I'm saying, right? That's created. And then once he created it, then he formed it to be like he wanted, just like he formed man. To be like he wanted man to be. And so we don't get lost in that. The earth is a young earth. So in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. And so we see that he created this out of nothing, and then he forms it into what he wanted it to be. And of course, we know God has always existed. But what God did when he created was he marked the beginning of the universe in time and space. That's what he did. He marked the beginning of the universe in time and space. And so, if you were to look at or ask any honest scientist, they would tell you, that all indications of the earth is young. It's not old. It's young. And people say, what about the dinosaurs? Did man actually walk with dinosaurs? Yes. Read Job, the Leviathan, the behemoth. Do you know that fire-breathing dragons actually existed? They're real. They're not. Now, unicorns are made up. They're fictitious. Fire-breathing dragons are not. The Bible even talks about how they opened their mouth and fire came out. The Bible talks about how the behemoth was so large that a multitude of men with spears couldn't kill it. But it's in there. Why? Because God created all the animals at the same time. Therefore, they existed. If you go back and do your research in the 80s, there was a newspaper article, they may have gotten rid of this, that talked about when the part of the Mississippi River dried up. And what they found in the Mississippi River, the dry bed, was a dinosaur footprint and a man's footprint in the dinosaur footprint. And they said the only way that could have happened is if they walked together. Proof, right? I digress. Anyway, I got to move on. And so God put it all. He created it all, and then he formed it. So he said, okay, this is what I need. I need all this. And so he brings it all in, puts it all together, and then he starts forming it to do what he wants done with it. And it says that he formed this for our existence. And so these scientists that want to go to Mars and by the way, he formed it and called it Earth. One of the most interesting, boy, this is a 2-week sermon. I'm not even going to force this one in. One of the most interesting things about the fact that God called Earth Earth and it's still called Earth today, and every other planet is named after a false god. Earth is the only thing not named after a false god because God named it and has kept its name. Do you not find that interesting? It's because, man, we are a sinful, sinful bunch of... Boy, I got some good stuff in here, but man... Next week. All right, I got someone who says they want to go home. Okay. So... oh, my goodness. All right, so, guys, all right, next week, we're going to talk about creation. And I'm going to blow your mind with this. I'm legit going to blow your mind next week with creation, and then we'll talk about the second coming the following week. And the reason I got to go through this is because Peter went through it, and Peter's like, listen, there's two things you forgot, creation and the flood. You forgot the historical facts. And when you forget historical facts, that causes you to live a sinful life because now you're forgetting God. And our world is attacking Genesis right now. Because if they can attack Genesis and change the historical facts, then they're free to walk in their perversion. And that's what we're going to talk about next week is creation. And I will show you through these scriptures that evolution is a lie. I will show you every part of it is a lie, and that God is true and that his word is true. And I'll also show you how people are trying to eliminate history. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you that my sermon is done for next week. Father, just help me to dig in even deeper and refine it more, Father, to bring truths that are undeniable, Father, to help each and every one of us understand your word, that you established everything, Father, that you put it into place. And Father, the reason that we have scoffers and mockers are because they do not want to surrender to your truth. Father, help each and every scoffer and mocker, Father, that is hearing my voice, that will hear my voice, and that has heard this before, Father, or heard someone else talk about them. Help them to realize that they are the problem. And Father, help them to see the truth, understand the truth, and believe in Christ, Father, before they see you face to face and you destroy them. Father, do a great work and use us to help make that happen. Father, if there's anyone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Father, may they kill their pride. Father, may they push down any fears or any doubts or any false beliefs that Satan has given them, Father, and they believe your word, and they believe that you sent your son Jesus Christ to die for us. Father, that they believe and understand that hell is our default position, Father. We're born into sin. And that you sent your son Jesus to save us from that. To save us from death and hell. And so, Father, if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus, Lord, open their eyes. Father, touch their heart. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you want to surrender all to Jesus and today give your life to him, I want you to pray this prayer quietly to yourself, understanding the words. The words have no meaning. It's a roadmap. It's a way to guide you through so you have a time stamp on the day that you made a commitment to give your life to Jesus Christ because you believe he's the Savior of the world, the only way to heaven. That's all the prayer is. The change happens because you believe with all of your heart that truth that Jesus Christ is your only way to heaven. He's the Savior. And with all your heart, you're willing to surrender it to him. That's where the change happens. And so if that's your desire, you pray quietly to yourself, Father, today I surrender. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. Jesus, I believe that you conquered death and hell. I believe you rose on the third day. I believe you are at the right hand of the Father. And I put all of my faith in you, understanding that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that there's no other way to the Father except through you. Today, I surrender to all of that. I believe every word of that. And with all of my heart, I die to myself, and I am going to start living unto you. With all of my heart, I repent. I ask that you forgive me of all the sin I've ever done in my life, and I repent. I'm going to turn from my wicked ways. I'm going to turn from walking in the way of the world. I'm going to repent and turn. I'm going to start following your way. Jesus, today I surrender all to you.